This is very relevant to where we're coming from. Let me just set the stage properly. Gideon, who is the man who is spoken about in the book of Judges, is the very man that put out the fleece. You know, you had mentioned earlier how you put out a fleece. It's interesting that it's in the context of when he was very much a coward and was not living victoriously. And this is not something we really should be modeling. Both that, and you take Thomas when he saw the Lord and said, well, I can't, you know, I heard about the other men here seeing the Lord, and he said to them, now listen, I won't believe it until I see him. And Jesus' words to him was, now that's not the right way. We are to take it based on what the Word of God says. Gideon is an individual, a man who is a very somewhat of a common man who was put used in a powerful way. He was not thinking of himself as a leader and a prominent guy, but here's what was going on. First of all, the nation Israel was being judged and had been judged for almost four decades. That's how long. Why? Because they defied the word of the Lord in many things that they did. Now, it is not unlike our nation is doing. Our nation has been taught the Word of God and has taught, you know, we've had access to the Bible for a long time and have had very good teaching on it, but the majority now are defying. Just the way we're accepting homosexuality, which was mentioned earlier, is a classic example. You know, recognize history tells us no nation, none in history has ever allowed homosexuality to be accepted as a practice in their culture and survived. Every single culture that has allowed it has crashed. And we are well on our route to repeating the same thing. God has two ways. Everyone in here, please listen to this. This is important. If you want to walk with the Lord successfully, you want to listen to this. God has two basic ways of working with every single one of us who is one of His. Now, I would suspect most people in here on a Wednesday night are saying, no, I know Jesus. I'm a believer, okay? Well, if you are a believer, you should recognize this truth. God would first and foremost want to direct your life through the Word of God and the prompting of the Spirit. That's what He wants. But He tells us in Hebrews that if you don't and you're one of His, He has another way. You know what that way is? He chastens us as a father is to chasten his child. Now, here's another classic example. In our culture, we are told, oh, don't put your hand on that poor child. When, in fact, Scripture says over and over again, you don't, and you're going to have a rebel.
Right.
So we have a culture that has gone against the Word of God, and that never has bode well for any culture, any group of people, any people that accept false teachings that are teachings of man and promote them above the Word of God. Now, having said that, we have this setting where this nation, now here's how bad it was. God, in chastening the Jewish people because they were not worshiping God the way they had been told to worship God, in fact, as they started to worship other gods, God said, all right, I'm going to punish you with surrounding nations. And at this point, the Midianites, which were another people, it would be like the Russians for us, or maybe more closely akin, it would be like the Canadians having power over us. And every year, everybody was basically a farmer. They weren't working in the factories. They didn't have factories. Most everybody, the whole population, was farmers. So what do you do as a farmer? You plant your seed in the spring, and then you work, and it grows, and ultimately you get to harvest it. And what the Midianites were doing, and they had done, implied in Scripture and concluded by most of the scholars of the Word, this is probably the eighth season. They have planted, the crops have grown in Israel, and then they harvested, and then the Midianites come in and take the harvest. And they barely have enough to live on. And this has happened for 8 years, and it is tough. And this has just happened again. Gideon is hiding out in a wine press area trying to get the grain separated from the chaff of the grain so that no one would see him. And he just wants to gather enough to stay alive. That being the context, we have, first of all, the Midianites were oppressive, the Jewish people, because they, as a group of people, were accepting lifestyle that was contrary to what was taught in the Word of God, so that the Lord raised up Gideon. He was the fifth deliverer for the nation, and the nation would turn around for only a period of time and then go back to their old sin. Gideon tears down the altar, ultimately, in this chapter of Baal. At night, by the way, he did it at night because he was scared. This guy was a coward in so many respects, but he turns out to be mightily used to the Lord. And that, by the way, was encouraging to me in my personal devotions earlier in the week when I read that. Do you ever feel like, man, I can't face all the challenges I have ahead of me? Can anybody else relate to that? The challenges look bigger than we are? Well, this is encouraging because this man felt this very same way. He ultimately, God sends him out and has very, very strongly worked with him, very specifically told him that he'll be with him and you're going to do it. He still says, okay, I'll go do it, but I'm going to do it at night. And he goes, tears down the altar of Baal and builds another altar. He literally uses the wood that the other altar was used for as the burning sacrifices. The men of the city come out and they are ticked off at him, boy. They are really mad. They want his life. And his dad, who had built the altar for Baal, says, hold on a second, don't kill my son. You know, why do we have to defend Baal? Baal, he is really God. He can defend himself. This is just my son. If he is really God, he can take care of my son. Don't worry. You don't have to do that. Let Baal defend himself. Amen. You know, he's never able to do that. Then he used fleece to check out whether God was indeed called him to rescue Israel. That is, and in its full context, this man is still not responding as really a man of faith. He starts to gain it as he gets into chapter 7, but in chapter 6, he's still saying, I hear you, God, but I don't know if I can believe it. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that would ever work out. Now, stop and think about your lives. How often have you heard what God said you ought to do? Oh, I can't do that. Man, I've always done this. Or this happened to me in the past, so therefore I can't do this because that happened to me and I'm a victim. You know what? That is all garbage of our society. What we need to do is recognize when God tells us to do something, He empowers us to do it. And we would be very wise to give it our all. That's an important truth. It is a key to sustaining our walk with Jesus Christ. Anguish. Chapter 6 starts off with anguish, all sorts of anguish. They are screaming out. They're up in a high place. They're screaming out for help because they have been overrun. And they're saying, hey, listen, give me some relief. And in the midst of this, by the way, what happens is that they are rebellious, and God sends another prophet to them and says, listen, you are getting the results of your previous sin. Now, we ought to pay attention to this, because some of what we're reaping today is a result of our bad choices in the past. And He wants us to learn from them so that we go forward victoriously. Now that's just true statements, boy. Some of the really rough times we get ourselves into are a direct result of our own bad choices. And when we try to make excuses for it other than that, we set ourselves up to really have some problems. And the prophet comes and tells them, listen, it isn't woe is you, poor you guys, you're getting exactly what you deserve. Now, that isn't what they wanted to hear, because this has been 40 years, a long time. And then an angel comes, and that's the passage we're going to talk about. It's really a fascinating passage. He comes to him where he is threshing the grain. He protests the event. He says, whoa, what are you doing? The angel had come to him and said, you're a mighty soldier, and you're going to be able to do some great things. And he says, oh, hold on a second. You're an angel of the Lord. Why have you not dealt well with us like they did to our fathers? You always took care of our fathers. You're not taking care of us. That wasn't a very smart thing to say, actually. It was a cowardly response. Then he promises him in the same time and commands him to go in the strength you have and rescue Israel from your sins. He told him, he commanded to go and rescue. Now, what is Gideon's response to that? His response was, I can't do that. I'm just a weak tribe. I'm a weak individual. Don't send me. Very much like Moses responded, by the way, at the start. Jeremiah did the same thing. He said, I'm too young to go. That was there his response. And then the angel comforted him, and he comforted him with this. I will be with you. Five words. I will be with you. You know, by the way, he's told us that. If you are a believer, the Great Commission ends, and lo, I am with you always until the end of time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says, we don't have to fear what man shall do unto us. Why? Because he is with us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And then comes around to him wanting some proof that the things are going the right direction. And he says, angel of the Lord, you stay right here. I am going to make you a sacrifice. And he goes off and prepares a sacrifice and brings it back. And then the angel of the Lord demonstrates that he is who he says he is. You know what he does? He takes his rod and has him put the offering on a rock. And he takes his rod and he reaches over and touches the meat and the grain offering. And you know what happens at that instant? The rock has flames come out of it and consumes the altar, the offering. Now, just think about it. And we read that, we read over it and say, oh, yeah, okay, and we keep going. No, you got to stop and think about that. Do you expect rocks to burn? To spit fire? No, I don't either. That had to have been, wow, that would have been a wow one. You know, it's amazing that in fact happens. And he still has some problems. He then is told to go take down the altar, and he hesitates and does it at night, even though he had just seen this miracle. Then he builds a second altar after that. He builds an altar right after the angel of the Lord departs, and then he builds a second altar after he tears down the altar of Baal. And then he is anointed. And he blows a trumpet. He is anointed and challenged to go and fight the Midianites. And so he blows a trumpet and calls a bunch of other men to around him so that they could go off the battle. And then this has all happened. And then the chapter 6 ends with this brave man saying, you know what, I don't know if I can believe this. And I don't know if this could really be of God. Now think about what's happened in his life. He has seen a rock come out and consume his offering. He has ripped down what they thought was the God's idol and built another idol on it. And all the people come out to kill him. And they decide, no, we're not going to do that. This guy may be a man of God and we better not touch him. You know, he has all of this personal experiences that should have given him tremendous faith. He has had God speak to him again and say, listen, you're going to be the one. I am going to liberate your people using you. And then in the midst of this, what does he do? He says, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can believe you. Now, that is analogous to you reading the Word of God and saying that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You say, I don't know. I don't know, man. I have done some really bad things, and I don't think God can forgive me. I wouldn't go there if I were you, because the Word of God couldn't be clearer. You know, what we are commanded to do is accept what his Word says, and then get up and live the life we're supposed to live. I'm spending way too much time. And then I'm going to go on. I'll read the passage, and I want to point out three things. There's three thoughts that come jumping out at me from this passage, but you're only going to get them just briefly because we're out of time already. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth thing that was at Ophrah. That's a particular place in northern Israel and belonged to Oash, Abiezite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press. That is not where you normally thresh wheat, by the way. That's a dumb place to do it, except when you're getting overrun by a foreign nation that's trying to take all of your grain, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you." Note, and remember, if you are a genuine believer, he has said that to you also. He is with you, and you need to really remember this truth. It is huge. You cannot go about your life, "Woe is me, no one cares about me, I can't go on with life, I can't make it." No, the Lord God, the creator, sustainer, God of the universe, has said he is with you. Leave it at that. The Lord is with you. "You mighty man of valor." This guy wants to say, "Who are you talking to?" You know, that had to have been his feeling. You know, he must have been looking around. He says, man, he must be talking to somebody else. And Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us..." Now, notice this. How many other people do you think were in the wine press? Just him, okay? And the angel is speaking specifically to him. And how does he respond? "Well, oh, Lord, if you, Lord, is with us..." Okay, notice that. "Why then was all this happening to us? And where are all his miracles through which our fathers told us about?" You know, you see one common denominator? He says, you know, "We're just a group of guys here. I don't know what's happening. And you're not really looking at me to do anything, are you?" And he goes on, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us." You know, the Lord, you're the one that's bad, Lord. You're the one that hasn't been doing the right job and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. "I don't get it, God. You're not a good God." That's basically what he was saying. "There's something wrong with you, God. You've gone to sleep. You've forgotten about me." When in fact, it is already very clear that this was happening to them because of their own sin. What should he have been doing? "Lord, forgive me for my personal lack of faith, for my personal sinful choices." It should have been personal and it should have been specific. And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." In other words, "I've given you what you need." And I'm saying that to every one of us that's a believer. In you is the Holy Spirit. You have already been given the power you need to live victoriously. The problem is you lack faith to say, "All right, I'm going to start living the way I ought to live. I'm going to say no to the things I ought to say no to, and I'm going to say yes to the right things. And mainly, it's not going to be about me anymore. It's going to be about loving the Lord my God and being a blessing to others. No longer I focus." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And I have I not sent you?" He had sent them. But guess what? He has sent us also for believers. "Go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." When was the last time you took that on as a challenge? "Go you therefore and preach the word." Be ready instant in season and out of season to preach the word. To tell others about Jesus. This is a command to every believer. And yet we talk about, "Well, I've got other things I got to get done." Be careful. We're supposed to be getting that done all the time, no matter as we go about everything else that we would like to accomplish. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." In other words, you got the wrong man. What are you doing asking me to do something for you? And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you." Those five words are given to you also if you're a believer. "And you shall defeat the Midianites as..." How many? Remember the us theme? It's no longer the us theme. God comes back, it's the you thing. You got to get your act together. Don't be looking at the group to do it. You need to step up, whether the group goes the right way or not. And then he said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that if you who talk with me, do not depart here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. That shows the mercy of God. Because he didn't need to do that. This guy should have been believing already. And he was testing, and that's what we do. Oh, Lord, you know, I know you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. You didn't put me in prison. I'm not in prison. I'm out free. But you know what? I don't know that you can take me the rest of the way. I just can't make it. I can't go on. That's all garbage, okay? That's just the lies of the world. I don't care what your problems are. God is aware of them, and he said he'll be with you, and you can go through it, and your purpose ought to be to glorify him no matter what you're facing. And I say that to myself. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread and an ephah of, this is about a half a bushel of wheat, in the midst of a time when everybody was starving. He's able to produce this. And the meat he put in a basket and put it in the broth of a pot and brought it out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. I think there's symbolism in this rock. Because if you go in the New Testament, you will see who is the rock. Who is the cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're to put your offering, your sacrifice on the rock. What does he tell us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might experience the fullness that God intends for you. The very thing that's going on here. And the angel of the Lord take the meat and put it on the rock. And then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that he had in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Lessons. Respond. Gideon was having a message from God to say, get up and do what you've been commanded to do. And he was hesitating. And I'm telling you, that is a foolish thing. And guess what he's telling all of us? He is commanding all of us to be holy as he is holy. To rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's kind of runs different than moping and complaining and grumbling, doesn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So respond is one key item if you want to live victoriously. Respond to the commands of the Word of God. Number two, remember. Remember that God is present. That's why he was having trouble. You notice God had said that to him three different times. I am with you. I will be with you. I am with you. And he's saying that to us too. And then third, surrender. It's not by your way, it's his way. I go back to the Romans passage. Living sacrifice. That means, as it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. We need to die to our selfish, self-centered lifestyle and live to bring him honor and glory by being a blessing to others